Hawker Beechcraft looks for a new CEO. A subcontractor reports a financial hit from the shutdown at Eclipse. And Brazilian police accuse 10 people of negligence in the TAM Airlines crash. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 21st, 2008. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation Chairman and CEO Jim Schuster Thursday announced his intent to retire from the company once a successor is found. Quote, "After nearly 8 years as CEO, I feel the time is right. HBC is the world's largest privately held aircraft manufacturer, and with the support of world-class partners Goldman Sachs and Onex, Hawker Beechcraft is poised to become the leader in general aviation," unquote. Schuster's tenure at the helm began in May of 2001, when he was named executive VP of Raytheon Company and chief executive officer of Raytheon Aircraft Company. Schuster oversaw certification of 19 new aircraft, most of them variations on previous Hawker and Beechcraft models. He continued in the leadership role when Raytheon spun off its aircraft division to GS Capital Partners in March 2007, when it became known as Hawker Beechcraft. Schuster will remain a shareholder after he leaves the company. The board has not announced any details or progress of its search for his replacement. Innovative Solutions and Support announced its financials for the fourth quarter and fiscal year ending September 30th. The news was generally good, with the big exception of a crater left by the shutdown of a major client, Eclipse Aviation. Net sales for the fourth quarter were $10.2 million. That's up 100% from the previous year. The company reported fourth quarter 2008 net income of $7.6 million, or 45 cents per fully diluted share. That includes the receipt of a $17 million legal settlement, compared to a fourth quarter 2007 net loss of $4 million. ISS states that fourth quarter results include about $6 million in charges associated with the suspension of production on a, quote, large general aviation OEM contract, unquote. That would be Eclipse Aviation, for which IS&S is the primary partner on the Avio NG avionics suite. IS&S was signed in March of 2007 to handle systems integration for Avio NG, 1 month after Eclipse terminated its prior agreement with Avidyne. The new suite was initially comprised of IS&S displays, with systems from Chelton Flight Systems, Garmin International, Honeywell, and PS Engineering. The $6 million in charges includes an allowance for doubtful accounts and a $1.9 million increase in reserve for obsolete inventory. That's code for the possibility Eclipse will fold, leaving IS&S with a large unpaid bill and a number of proprietary Avio NG units that cannot be fitted to any other aircraft. One of the basic tenets of aviation regulation in much of the world is that the use of criminal penalties should be a last resort to avoid creating an environment which discourages the reporting of safety problems. But Brazil has a recent history of pursuing criminal charges against pilots even before investigations are complete, and even lawsuits against foreign reporters whose observations offend its citizens. Now, the Associated Press reports Brazilian police are fixing blame on both airline officials and government bureaucrats for the nation's worst ever airline accident. TAM Flight 3054 overran a runway in driving rain at Sao Paulo's Congonhas Airport in July of 2007. All 187 people on board the Airbus A320 died. 12 more people on the ground died as well. An investigator with the Sao Paulo State Civil Police, who spoke anonymously, said their investigation showed government officials failed to set stricter rainy day landing rules for the short runway and also failed to fully repair the runway's drainage system. Airline officials are blamed for poor pilot training and operating the airliner with one of its thrust reversers inoperative. The airline insists that Airbus considered flying with the inoperative thrust reverser acceptable. A total of 10 people have been implicated in the civil police report. The Brazilian Air Force, which also operates the nation's air traffic control system, is conducting its own investigation. Officials found guilty could face up to 6 years in prison, but it will be up to Brazilian prosecutors to bring formal charges. Up next on ANN, Delta says it will keep all seven of its hubs. Southwest has found a way to begin service into LaGuardia. And Alaska Airlines pilots pressure management to share the wealth. You're listening to Aero News.
uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 21st. I'm Paul Plack. I'm based in Utah, and there's been a lot of talk here lately about whether Delta would keep all of its hubs in operation, or trim back a few now that it's combining operations with Northwest Airlines. Salt Lake City has always looked fairly safe, because it's the airline's only hub in the western U.S., and recently Delta suggested it might actually expand operations here. That was great news where I live, but it only increased concerns elsewhere. Now, the Detroit Free Press is reporting a promise by Delta to keep all its hubs, and the new ones it's getting through the Northwest acquisition, in operation. Besides Salt Lake, the others are Detroit, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Memphis, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and New York JFK. Detroit is the airline's second-largest hub, and industry observers have questioned whether keeping all seven makes sense. On Wednesday, Delta President Ed Bastian told the Detroit Free Press, quote, "Yes, it does, and the reason for that is we've already paid for them. They are ours. If you started an airline from scratch, would you put a hub in Cincinnati and Detroit and Minneapolis and Memphis? No, you wouldn't. But the reality is that they are there," unquote. Bastian added that both Cincinnati and Detroit are home to big corporate accounts and great employees. But keeping all its hubs doesn't mean the combined airline will keep all its flights. Delta has announced it will cut 12% of its flights from Cincinnati starting in January and drop two nonstops from Detroit to Osaka, Japan, and Paris, France. On the plus side, Bastian said Delta expects to add service from Detroit to Shanghai, China in March and may add flights to Latin America in the future. The airline has said it wants international flights to make up half its routes by 2010. Bastian added the company has cut capacity by 15%, is well positioned to weather slowing demand, and expects to be profitable in 2009. Southwest Airlines confirmed this week it has submitted a bid that would allow it to assume ATA Airlines' rights to operate at New York's LaGuardia Airport through a purchase of ATA Airlines. ATA was a codeshare partner with Southwest before ATA filed for bankruptcy in April. The bid was submitted in U.S. bankruptcy court in Indianapolis. The airline says its bid is strictly for the slots at LaGuardia and would not involve any other ATA assets. Each slot represents one runway operation. That means 14 slots total would allow Southwest to operate up to 7 daily round-trip flights at LaGuardia. In a time when competitors are cutting back, Southwest CEO Gary Kelly notes, quote, "Even in this volatile environment, we have said we must monitor the competitive landscape and take advantage of prudent market opportunities," unquote. Before the slots could be awarded, the court would have to approve both Southwest's bid and an overall reorganization plan for ATA Airlines. On Monday, Alaska Airlines announced a marketing alliance with the new Delta Airlines. Not surprisingly, Alaska's pilots, who've been in contract negotiations with the airline for almost 2 years, now want a piece of any windfall that alliance brings in. Captain Bill Shivers, chairman of the Alaska Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association, commented, quote, "Alaska is using the synergies of this alliance to draw upon the strengths of both our own carrier and the combined Delta Northwest's international network to strengthen our airline's future prospects. As Alaska Airlines continues to develop and expand its relationship with Delta, it is time to stop excluding this pilot group from that success," unquote. Alaska pilots requested the assistance of a federal mediator in July. If he declares the talks to be at impasse, which after 2 years doesn't seem like much of a stretch, a strike could follow 30 days later. Flight crews say they're currently working under an arbitrated contract that cut their pay by as much as 35%. The crew of the International Space Station celebrated the orbiting lab's 10th anniversary Thursday with a spacewalk by astronauts Heidi Marie Stefanishin-Piper and Shane Kimbrough. The second of the mission's four planned spacewalks began 45 minutes early at 12:58 Eastern Time and ended at 7:43 p.m., running 15 minutes longer than its scheduled 6.5 hours. Replacement of 11 of the 12 trundle bearings in the starboard solar alpha rotary joint race ring was successfully completed. That repair comes almost a year after astronaut Dan Tanney, in a spacewalk on November 24, 2007, noticed metallic debris on a main gear bearing race, suggesting metal-on-metal grinding which could lead to a failure of the joint. The bearings allow rotating the solar array to track the position of the sun, which is essential to maximizing power generation. The first of the 12 bearings was replaced back in June. The bearings will be returned to Earth where they'll be inspected, and engineers will try to determine what caused premature failure by subjecting the remaining good bearings to further analysis. Still ahead, new technology keeps airplanes and garbage trucks separated on an Alaskan runway. Bombardier's Q400 celebrates a production milestone, and Diamond announces a year-end DA40 blowout. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 21st. I'm Paul Plack. A while back, we told you a story from Unalaska, Alaska, that probably sounded a little foreign to most residents of the lower 48. On April 9th of this year, the driver of a tractor-trailer rig owned by Horizon Lines stopped at the crossing where Ballyhoo Road meets the runway of the city's airport. After seeing the flashing lights that indicate a plane is about to take off or land on runway 1230, the truck driver would later tell the National Transportation Safety Board that after waiting about 45 seconds, the gates, which are supposed to come down to block the road, did not, and he couldn't see any airplanes approaching, so he rolled past the lights to cross the runway. The truck drove directly into the path of a Peninsula Airways Grumman Goose on final approach to 30. All 9 people on the plane survived the resulting collision, but the plane was damaged and one passenger broke her hand. In media reports which followed the accident, others who frequent the area charged that the lights often provided false alarms. They operate like pilot-controlled lighting, requiring 7 clicks from an aircraft radio's microphone to activate the warning lights and lower the gates. If the pilot forgets to turn the lights off, they keep flashing, resulting in the false alarms. The NTSB report quoted ADOT as stating that the gates had been, quote, out of service for more than a year due to budgetary constraints, that their chain drive mechanism was prone to fail in the harsh climate, and that new gates were in the works. The road which crosses the runway approach is the only one available between Unalaska and a city-owned dock north of the airport. The Anchorage Press reports some new developments in this odd story. First, Penn Air filed a lawsuit against Horizon Lines, claiming the truck driver caused the accident. On a more positive note, the new gates were installed last week at a cost of $600,000. Anna Walker, an airport safety and security officer at ADOT, says the agency and the trucking firm are cooperating to make sure those gates work. Quote, right now we have a person on the ground with a radio to make sure all this works. We're going to continue that practice for a while. I can't say for certain how long. Unquote. Peninsula Airways is seeking at least $100,000 for damage to the Goose and claims Horizon's driver had his license suspended at the time of the accident. Actually, given the history of aviation in Alaska, an aircraft operator complaining of an unlicensed truck driver is mildly ironic. Bombardier Aerospace announced on Thursday that Ethiopian Airlines has signed a contract to purchase 8 Q400 next-gen turboprop airliners and has taken options on 4 more, lifting the airplane formerly known as the Dash 8 to a new milestone. Including this transaction, the program has now recorded firm orders for a total of 1,001 aircraft. Based on the list price, the value of the Ethiopian Airlines firm order is about $242 million U.S. It could reach $366 million if the 4 options are exercised. Ethiopian Airlines CEO Germa Wake noted, quote, the 360-knot speed, low operating costs, and environmental credentials of the Q400 next-gen aircraft will enable us to maintain the high standards for which we have received numerous awards. The aircraft's excellent range and payload capability will allow us to deploy it on domestic routes within Ethiopia, as well as on regional routes up to 1,000 nautical miles from Addis Ababa, unquote. Wake also praised the plane's performance from hot and high-elevation airfields. The original Dash 8 turboprop program was launched in 1980. With the introduction of the noise and vibration suppression system in 1996, the name was changed to the Q-Series aircraft program, as in quiet. The aircraft are now in service with more than 100 operators around the world. While the incoming Obama administration debates another round of economic stimulus checks back to taxpayers, Diamond Aircraft isn't waiting. Customers who purchase and take delivery of a new DA-40 between now and December 31st will get free maintenance, free insurance, free fuel, and free flight training for the first year of operation, an incentive the company values at $13,250. The incentive adds to the U.S. government's special bonus depreciation tax incentive program that allows new owners to write off up to $300,000 of the purchase price. That is more than the base price of the DA-40CS. Diamond stresses the offer expires December 31st and is limited to new U.S. or Canadian-registered DA-40 aircraft purchased from current inventory. And finally, perhaps in the hopes of taking attention off the plane's developmental delays, Emivest Aerospace Corporation recently announced a new speed record for the SJ-30 business jet, flying from London to Dubai in 7 hours and 7 minutes, including a 41-minute fuel stop in Istanbul. Emivest bailed out the former Sinosphere engine earlier this year and acquired an 80% stake in the company. The record flight was made November 10th, as serial number 7 was on the way to Dubai for the Middle East Business Aviation Show. The National Aeronautical Association has certified the record, which was flown over a great circle distance of 3,470 statute miles at an average speed of 488 miles per hour. The aircraft was certified in November of 2005, but so far, only two production planes have ever been delivered to customers. Emivest would no doubt love to announce an improvement in the speed of production, too. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll spend a few minutes with veteran air show air boss, Ralph Royce. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.